Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and Executive Director. And what we're looking at now is something we could have anticipated and did, Jonathan certainly did, that Syria is a black box. You can only guess what's coming out. In this instance, the firing of rockets from Syrian territory toward Israel. And the event was claimed by two different groups, neither of which I'm familiar with. One named Mohammed Deif, martyr, that would be Hamas-linked language. The other named the Islamic Front for Resistance in Syria, an emblem that resembles the IRGC emblem. So there's suggestion of an Iran link. The reason I bring these linkages up, Jonathan, is that it always goes back to the brain of the octopus. Is Iran looking not only to bedevil Israel along the frontier with Syria, but also to move its way back into Syria? They need that connection to Lebanon. Is this a game within a game?
It is always a game within a game, John. The Iranians have not given up on their attempt to encircle Israel. I think this is likely a futile effort on the part of whether it's Hamas or IRGC or some combination thereof. The Syrian regime, with all of its flaws and its affiliations with al-Qaeda in the past, they have been cracking down on the use of weapons by non-state actors. And this is, by the way, not because this is not out of altruism. This is about Abu Muhammad al-Jalani's efforts to control the country that he now leads. This is a crucial step for any dictator, and he is one. There is no vice president. There are no elections. This is his regime for as long as he is on this earth. And so he does not want to see groups like these emerge stronger. So we will see the continued crackdown on these groups. Iran will continue to try. By the way, we're hearing that, that there, of course, is Turkish influence here. There is Qatari influence, which is unclear who's funding and arming these groups. But we'll learn soon enough. But at the end of the day, I do believe that the Syrian regime will likely prevail over any attempts here. And we'll see more arrests and crackdowns and perhaps raids and killings for that matter, because Abu Muhammad Jalani needs to control the entire territory of the country that he captured.
The Israelis responded to the rocket fire. Is the aim here to provoke Israel to respond? Are they looking to, in some fashion, get Israel to go up against al-Shara and what's left of the Syrian National Army? Where is this? What's the goal here, Jonathan?
Well, I think number one is just to remind the Israelis that their enemies are on all borders and that they are still at a war. And I think that, every time a quiet front grows hot again, even for a few minutes, it's a reminder to Israel that they're not safe. And I do think that that is part of the psychological warfare. I did not expect any of these rockets to actually hit their targets. The Israeli air defenses are quite good, and I think these were likely amateurs firing rockets in the first place. So I do think there's part of that. I think there's an attempt to try to revive whatever has been destroyed in places like Syria and Lebanon, where, and even Iraq, right, where this is where we saw Shiite militias and Iran-backed entities engaging with Israel early on in the months of this war. All of these fronts have gone quiet. So Iran is trying to revive them. I don't see this happening in any concerted way, though, John. I think these are sort of one-offs, at least for now. Unless we're missing something big here, I think Abu Muhammad Jalani al-Shara, as you call him, that he, at least so far, has been engaging in a successful crackdown of armed groups.
To the talks with Iran about the suspect nuclear weapons program and the U.S. leading the conversation, The understanding that I've had for many years, Jonathan, is that Iran is superior at the bazaar. By that, I mean merchandising. And that they've learned over centuries to keep the adversary talking. The advantage always with the person who introduces new topics all the time. We're talking about the price of a scarf on the table before us, or the Islamic nuclear weapons program. So right now, it would appear to me from the outside that the Iranian negotiators are doing very well because they keep the Trump administration talking, though there's no result.
There is no result. And I think right now, the as I understand it, the Trump administration is waiting for a response from the latest offer made by the U.S. Unclear what that offer is, but apparently Donald Trump spoke to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the offer that's on the table. The Israelis have agreed, at least in principle, to not strike Iran's nuclear program so long as the Trump administration is involved in negotiations that have not ended. And in other words, as long as there is a chance for the Iranian nuclear program to be dismantled peacefully, the Israelis have agreed to work with Trump. I do think that there's a temptation on the part of the Israelis. They'd like to see this thing collapse so they could do whatever business they think is necessary. Trump has said that he still wants to try to end this thing without violence and without destruction. That is what he told Netanyahu. But in the meantime, there is an interesting development, a wrinkle here, and that is that Donald Trump has now announced that Iran is also involved in the discussions surrounding the release of Israeli hostages. I don't know, John, how much more complicated that has just made these discussions. I think there is a logic to it because, of course, the Iranians are the primary patrons of Hamas, and they could probably exert some pressure on Hamas to release those hostages, and that could bring about an end of the war. So it'll be interesting to see how this figures into Stephen Witkoff's negotiations on behalf of the Trump administration. It's awfully complex. It was complex before, and now we've got one more knot to untangle.
I think you've given me permission to go to a headline in the Times of Israel that I skipped because it was too complicated. But here we go. Hamas documents reportedly show deep ties, coordination between Qatar and terror group. What we're talking about is the so-called neutral site is in the enemy's camp, correct? That's what we're seeing.
Correct. And by the way, I mean, this has been known for a very long time. This, you didn't need to find a document in the tunnels of Gaza. And the IDF did not need to fight in order to acquire those documents to know that the Qataris have been significant financial patrons for Hamas, $30 million a month since 2018. They have a headquarters for Hamas on their soil. They have helped Hamas try to rebrand over the years and to try to launder the organization's reputation so that it would be accepted more by the international community. The fact that we now have more evidence that Hamas was getting this kind of support, that shouldn't be shocking to anybody. What is interesting, though, is that the report suggests that Qatar was actively trying to torpedo Donald Trump's so-called deal of the century and the normalization agreements, the Abraham Accords, that were the hallmark, the signature of his administration by the year 2020. This could be interesting because Donald Trump may wake up to the fact that the country that just gifted him a 747 plane to be Air Force One was actually not acting in his interests, and that they are, in fact, enemies of his policies. That would be interesting given how personally Donald Trump takes such affronts.
Jonathan Shanzer is the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.